I am WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Sam Pressler, the Executive Director of the Armed Services Arts Partnership.
Alongside?
And Michael Garvey, a comedy boot camp instructor for the Armed Services Arts Partnership.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming in, guys. The reason I wanted to get you in here was I came and checked out one of your shows down at the Atlas Performing Arts Center down on H Street. And I guess before we get too far in, it's a lot of military veterans that are doing stand-up gigs. But then also you share some serious stories, too. So it was a nice mix. And I saw you guys had a date coming up again. Tell us about the new show, when it is and where it is.
Yeah, so on April 25th, 7:30, we're doing the Comedy Boot Camp Graduation Show at the DC Improv. And essentially that's the final culminating performance of our stand-up comedy class for veterans. So we do a 7-week class where we train veterans, service members, and military family members on stand-up comedy. And we like to have a nice celebration at the end where you can perform the jokes you've been working on throughout the class on stage in front of supportive members of the community. So we hope folks will come on out.
Now, let's take it all the way back. How did you start this to begin with? I believe it was when you were in college, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I started basically the seeds of Armed Service Arts Partnership, or ASAP, when I was at William & Mary. And essentially it was based off of a research project that I was doing as a student, where I learned a little bit about some of the mental health challenges in the veteran space, as well as this idea of the civilian-military gap, where less than 1% of the population served since 9/11, it's created this disconnect between those who served and those who haven't. And I was on the other side of that gap. I also, had a family history of mental health and a family member who committed suicide. So I wanted to kind of engage because I felt connected with the community. And like most people looking at those challenges, I thought the solution was stand-up comedy. But that was really because I used humor as a means to cope following the suicide in my family. And on a more basic level, I think we use humor and comedy and laughter as a means to like connect with folks when we don't feel disconnected, when we feel disconnected. You know, we lean into each other when we laugh. It lowers barriers. So I started this class, stand-up comedy class for veterans in college, and one thing led to another. Was a class to a full student organization. From a student organization, we were able to get funding to be a nonprofit organization, and that's, you know, how we.
How many years ago was that? It became official, I guess.
We're gonna be 3 years old next month as a nonprofit.
Happy early birthday!
Yeah, thank you very much,
Michael. Tell me, give me a little background of your story. I know you are a veteran yourself, right?
Yeah. But you were at the Atlas show?
I was at the Atlas show.
That was an intense show. Was that your first ASAP?
That was my very first one.
That was probably a good one to go to because you got to see the comedy and then that writing, that storytelling afterwards, which I had never seen before.
Yeah.
I only stick to the comedy because
that's what you're good at.
I just want to laugh. I don't want to cry.
Yeah, it was kind of broken up like almost like a intermission. You know, the first half was we were side splitting, cracking up, and then I was not expecting that. I thought it was going to be a stand up show, and then it was holy hell, we're here.
When it was over, I went out there and hugged those guys and then just left. I was like, that was intense. I'm gone.
Yeah. But give me a sense of your service, just so I can paint the backstory of how you got into it, you know?
Yeah, I dropped out of high school when I was 17, like most good Marines. And
it's a prerequisite.
Yeah, it actually is. Like, he's dumb. You're good. So I ended up a combat engineer. So, you know, with all the IEDs, improvised explosive devices, they started making a lot of combat engineers back then. Just, you know, like an old man on a beach looking for change. It's basically the whole job, except they're landmines. And I did that for 7 years. I went to Iraq in 2008, went to Afghanistan in 2011. In 2011 in Afghanistan... Did I say those dates right? Who knows? I got shot twice in Afghanistan and then ended up getting flown home and having to deal with all that. And just through recovery and stuff, because I had a lot of surgeries, and I got shot in the abdomen and the thigh. So they're not great places to get shot. You know, there's a lot of stuff in there. But yeah, I started to like resent being alive a little bit. And I tried to figure out something I could do that I wouldn't have if I hadn't gotten hurt. And I'd always loved comedy, but it's terrifying. And so when I saw Sam's class for the first comedy boot camp in D.C., I was like, well, this is perfect. like this, I get to do it with other veterans. They'll throw me on stage. Like I had already been doing a good bit of writing, but I was terrified. But I thought this was a good community to do it with. And it was, and it was great. And I haven't left as much as he wishes I would.
No, I mean, from experiencing, having seen your show, and you got great material, and you brought a dog with you.
Yeah.
Explain, what's his name?
His name is Liberty, and he's the reason people tolerate me.
Just to get an excuse to, you know, pet and listen to his jokes.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that guy's kind of a jerk, but look at the dog.
Explain how you incorporate him into your stand-up.
Well, originally I wasn't going to at all, just because I wanted to kind of separate the two, but people on the street just give you material on a regular basis. They just want to walk up to you and ask you the most ridiculous questions and assume all this stuff about you. And it would drive me crazy. It would make me angry. And I couldn't live like that. So I just started making fun of them instead. Like, not to their face, but I'd come home, I'd write it down. Right. And then I'd bring it on stage. And it just kept coming. Like, after a while, I started getting annoyed. I was like, nobody said anything new in a while. Like, everyone's repeating the same stuff. Right. Like, I might need to change something about me.
What kind of stuff you mean? Like,
well, you know, they
like,
ask
thank
if
you
I'm
for your service, and you're like, thank you for your jokes. Well, what do you mean the same stuff?
Thank you for your service is awful in itself, but just give me money. I like money. You know, people think I'm blind. Just everywhere I go, people are whispering and staring at me and stuff like that. And it's just because of a dog. So it's really annoying because he's not a mini horse. You know, it's not that weird.
Right.
Yeah.
You think you'll upgrade to mini horse eventually?
I would. He's kind of big, though. I think it would be a downgrade.
If you rode it to a comedy show on the back of a horse, though?
That's too much pandering. I'm doing enough with this dog.
You and the mini horse you rode in on.
No, but like, because when I decorated his vest, I put like my military stuff on it, you know, so people would kind of figure out why I have him and not always assume that I'm blind. And they just assume that the dog went to war all the time. Like, they read him off, and they're just like, were you guys together in Iraq? Yeah. Like, you guys, how long have you guys been fighting together?
Yeah.
It's like, that's not a thing, man.
Just sort of like ignorant questions, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, where'd you actually get him? What's the actual story of your...
I got him from an organization called Puppies Behind Bars. It's actually a cooler story because they're in a bunch of maximum security prisons in New York State, and the prisoners train the dogs, and they're great. I love them. I got Liberty 3 or 4 years ago, and I try and go back up 2 or 3 times a year just to visit, see the prisoners, and just let them like know they're doing work for a purpose and not just to send dogs into the world.
That's awesome. Well, he's being really well behaved right now. So you mentioned something about that was pretty serious, and I want to talk. I mean, you said when you came back, before you discovered this, you were resenting being alive. And I'm sure a lot, I know at least from hearing the stories of all the other fellow stand-ups dealing with depression. And talk about how you think that this actually is a great outlet for overcoming that. Not just for you, but even like interacting with your colleagues, how you've seen some of them use stand-up as, you know, a way to heal.
Well, I think people just take what irritates them. It's like, take what's always on your mind, take what bothers you, and just try and make it funny, and then it won't bother you anymore. Yeah. Then when the people come up to you and say this stuff, or you're in these situations, you're just going to laugh, and you're going to think about your joke. Yeah. And if anything, you're going to be able to add to your joke later, and you're going to appreciate that situation. And that's how it's really helped me. Like, if I've gotten car accidents on the way to a show, and I just get on stage and I talk about it.
You're like,
just,
ooh, good material.
Yeah, it's just very...
He's like, I'm going to get in a wreck on purpose next time. Yeah. I need some more material.
That one actually might have been on purpose.
That's hilarious. Give me a rundown of, I mean, we have Michael, but some of the other great stand-ups that are kind of in the rotation.
Yeah, of course. So I think what's really unique about our program, because we are... You know, we're focused on providing folks with the skills. You think I'm talking like a politician?
Like you're from Minnesota.
it's my New Jersey, Minnesota upbringing. No, but we're really focused on building skills and providing a place for people to connect around something that's fun. Like, we recognize that this is probably the one thing that people do during their weeks that they're actually looking forward to. And that holds a bit of a sacred space for us. So we view it more as a community, and it's not just about like one person who's, you know, shining above the rest, but like, how does a community come together to kind of grow and better each other with their jokes? And we see that. So like, Michael is a graduate of our comedy bootcamp class, and he's now an instructor for the class. So like, we see that we're able to train our alumni to become mentors and then to become teachers and actually serve after service. But we also see that like a surprising amount of people want to continue with comedy once they're done with our 7-week class. So Michael and one of his fellow instructors, KJ, started a open mic just for veteran and military comics to perform, and they do that monthly-ish. And always a lot of participation there. But I think when people go and see the show, what they'll realize that it's not just your stereotypical like veteran or military humor or veteran and military story. I mean, the veteran experience really represents the totality of the human experience. And so Right. You're going to see things that are very much like Michael's story, which is about his service and about what he deals with afterwards. You can see people talk about being a parent. You're going to see a real broad mm-hmm. array of experiences and stories. And I think that's an important part of that dialogue, that it's not just, you know, white male veteran telling XYZ story. No offense to you as a white male veteran telling XYZ story. A range of people. And so that's what's really cool about the program.
Yeah, I was struck by the diversity of the of the group you had up there. Yeah. And I actually think I remember you making a joke about, you're like, well, I'm like the one white male person here. So I think that was one of yours. <Did I>?
That might have been Winter Theater because I was.
But no, it is. I mean, you're going to go there and it's not just the, you know, I don't know, the stereotypical thing, the Arlie Ermey rest in peace kind of a thing, you know, it's a broad range of experiences, which I thought was great. Explain how do you even sign up for this seven-week thing?
7-year program.
We're still here.
Michael's just through phase one.
7 weeks.
We have a
If another veteran's listening to this.
Yeah, so I mean, highly encourage you to visit our website, asap.org, two ASAPs, not one, because ASAP.org
because
was taken.
It's ironic.
And you visit our website and we have a sign up link. And we accept applications year round. What we really look for in those applications is people's interest, like why do you want to be in this class, and also what do you want to accomplish? And because we invest in a lot in the program, and we want to make sure that people are equally committed. Mm-hmm. But it's just an online application form. You can go there, click sign up, and it'll take you to that application and then fill it out. We have a class coming up in the summer that's starting in early July, and then we have another class coming up in the fall that's going to start in mid-September.
Is it free? Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
So the nice thing about our programs is we really want to provide access to veteran service members and their families to engage in the arts, whether it's stand-up comedy, improv, storytelling, creative writing. So we make all of our programming free. We're actually really excited. Our comedy bootcamp program is sponsored by the Bob and Dolores Hope Foundation.
Oh, cool.
Which is like the family foundation of Bob Hope. And there's, right. you know.
Who did a ton of stuff with
USO. He was touring the Pacific in World War II, performing for the troops. Like, he is the godfather of the USO. Yeah.
You remember when I fell for that thing? There was it was like The Onion or something. It was like 10 times Bob Hope. Bob Hope tickle. Performed for the Viet Cong or something.
He's like, you see this?
Yeah. It was like,
send me the article.
Bob Hope got on the wrong plane.
And ended up doing a 5-hour set for the Viet Cong.
Yeah. Just pretend that was real. That's hilarious. Well, I didn't know that about Bob Hope either.
Yeah. I don't think Bob Hope knew that about Bob Hope.
He didn't know that about Bob Hope. So they sign up for this, and explain how the 7 weeks goes down. What exactly happens during that boot camp?
It starts with logistics and stuff in the beginning, kind of let them know what they're going to be in for and laying out all the weeks. And then we slowly incorporate. In the beginning, there's a lot of like, what is comedy? What is a joke? What is a punchline setup? How to kind of organize your thoughts. And then as the weeks go on, there's less of that and there's more of just performing the material you write. Mm-hmm. So like after the first week, we'll tell them to go home and try and come up with 2 minutes worth of material. And it doesn't have to be hilarious or funny. It's just 2 minutes of thoughts. And then when they come back, they'll perform them in front of the class, and then we will critique it. We'll try and give them jokes. We'll tell them like where they need to take stuff out, where they can add stuff, which is my favorite part. Like my favorite is just adding tags and punchlines, which gets easier and easier as the weeks go on and they do most of the work and you can just like slide things in.
Right.
But that's it, basically, the more and more until we get them to 5 minutes. And then like yesterday we had our practice show where we had a little audience, a little test audience, because, you know, the room gets, we get very used to hearing the same material over and over again. So you're not getting that laugh feedback. So at the end, it's nice to bring some fresh faces in there and fresh ears. and be like, oh, okay, these jokes are funny. Like, they're as funny as they were 4 weeks ago. We're just kind of used to working on the same material.
Right. But when you hear fresh ears laughing at it, you're like, oh, yeah, it does work.
Yeah, it's very encouraging.
And I think what we want to do through our class is, like, provide that baseline of foundational knowledge of, like, now that I've finished this program, I can continue to write stand-up comedy. I can continue to know how to get on stage and perform. And we're going to give you a really solid 5 minutes to get you started. Because that's sometimes the hardest part is just, how do I get started?
Just get that ball rolling.
And so our classroom environment's really unique. I mean, we have Michael and KJ, who are our lead instructors, both Marine Corps veterans who went through our program. We have 3 or 4 alumni mentors in every program who've gone through our class, who are like, maybe like Meg Mitchum's one of them, who's 6 months or a year further than the people who just graduated from the class. And then you have your fellow students. And so you're getting such an array of feedback that you get a really solid 5 minutes set, more so than just writing on your own and going to open mics.
Yeah, it becomes like just a writer's room, like at the end, which is so much fun. And we all just get to work on each other's stuff. And it is really fun to hear your jokes come out of someone else's mouth that you've all worked on together.
Right.
And 5 minutes is really what a comedian needs in the beginning. Like, that's your start. So, no, I don't think anyone else gets an opportunity to start comedy this way, where it's like you've been in a room full of people working on your jokes for 6 weeks, 7 weeks.
Like bouncing ideas off each other.
Yeah, and then your first time on stage, you have a very solid 5 minutes in an extremely supportive audience. It's like,
is there a particular bit that gets you every time from one of your colleagues?
One of mine? Oh,
or something someone not doesn't have to be something you wrote, but something one
anytime
of them
someone makes fun of Marines, I love it. especially when I'm hosting the shows, because they'll definitely bring them out then. Oh, what was the last one yesterday?
Because I don't want to like burn the material if someone's coming, but I also want to see if I could, I want to make our listeners laugh.
Well,
I think
if you'd be willing, I think since you talked about getting shot, I think your opening liner, that line about...
Oh, I thought he was talking about other people.
Yeah, but you're another person to me. Okay. You are not me.
All right, what's the opening line?
No, your line about the list service dog.
Oh, because, it's one of those things, like, as soon as you get on stage, you just want to make them laugh as quick as humanly possible. And if you can address something that they're thinking right then that's also helpful. And I bring a dog on stage, and I'm not blind. And it's pretty obvious. I guess. Even though people always ask me that, and I don't understand, because if they pay attention when I go on stage, like, he's following behind me.
Right.
You know, like,
you're not leading.
He's guiding me telepathically is what I think these people think. So I address him real quick out of the way, and I tell people that I was shot twice in Afghanistan, and if that happens occasionally, they'll just give you a sweet dog instead of proper medical care. And
brings down the house.
Yeah, most of the time. Sometimes people, it depends on the environment, they're just like, I don't know if I can laugh. That. I don't know if I can laugh at this guy getting shot and then nobody taking care of him.
Yeah.
They gave him a dog. That's kind of sad.
Although we did a show with the VA, the VA shows that we've done, when you've done that joke, I feel like it hits stronger than any other place.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
They get it, you know?
Well, but that's the only one of my VA jokes I can tell. I don't like them. It gets dark. And Sam would like to work with them one day, so I don't do them around him.
Try to keep the peace.
Yeah. Okay, so the Wednesday event, though, just sort of because you guys have been generous with your time, we'll let you run. But just to kind of bring it back full circle to what we're going to see Wednesday, is it set up? This is the graduation of the people that went through this 7-week boot camp. Mm-hmm. Is it a similar setup to the one that I went at Atlas, or how's it laid out?
So, yeah, basically on Wednesday, you're going to see 10 comics who are graduating from a comedy boot camp class. Because it's at the DC Improv, it's like going to an authentic stand-up comedy show. Mm-hmm. So Michael's going to be hosting the show, so he'll open up with some material. We'll go into our comics material. Everyone's going to be doing 5-minute sets. And then we close with a panel, which is really interesting, where we kind of similar to what we did at the Atlas show, where we go behind the scenes of the experience and not just hear the jokes, but understand what went into those jokes and what went into the class. So I'd highly encourage folks to check it out. It's go online, asap.org/performances, and you can reserve tickets right there. We already have about 125-30 tickets sold, so we're expecting to sell out in the next 2 days, so definitely jump on there and reserve them.
Awesome. Michael, anything you want to say in closing on why our listeners should come on out?
Because it's awesome. They're really fun shows, and the DC Improv is a nice little spot. It's intimate. It's a good room. It's a really fun room. And I've never hosted there, so come see me butcher names, as we saw that yesterday.
It's one of those things where people show up saying, like, I came here to be supportive, and they're like, at the end, they're like, holy crap, that was really funny. So, like, you're going to laugh your ass off, and you're going to be like, oh, my God, like, I'm also supporting a really good cause. So
they're fun shows. They're awesome. Fun shows.
Awesome. Well, everyone, come on out Wednesday night at the DC Improv. Gentlemen, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.